Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to...
Amen. We're going to a city. How we know this earth is not our home, amen. Talk about being an alien from another world. Sometimes we feel like that, don't we? Like, we don't belong here. Anyway, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But welcome to Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm also heard on Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is the network of our sister Jackie Elnor. And we also have a website, propheticnews.com. And we have a YouTube channel under my name, Susan Puzio. And I know I've had a few people say, Susan, please make some more videos. I want to. Believe me, I want to. And there's just so many things going on right now. And there'll be more time for me to devote my work, which is important to me, but I have so many things going on right now. So as soon as I can get some new videos up, I will. I know that we have a pretty good response on YouTube with some of the videos. Actually, the most popular video that I made on YouTube, and I don't know why Benny Hinn draws so much attention, but I have a Benny Hinn, and it's an old video. It's old news, really, because Benny's been remarried to his wife, Suzanne, for a few years, and Paula White's been married to her husband, I think, for 2 years. But it's called Benny Hinn Admits to an Inappropriate Relationship with Paula White. But anyway, the National Enquirer... The National Enquirer followed Benny Hinn and Paula White to Rome, and they snapped some pictures of them walking down the street holding hands. This is, and actually Benny wasn't even divorced yet. His wife had applied for a divorce, and it was in the works, but it wasn't final. So there he was jetting off with Paula. And they were doing Vatican businesses. Now, that's another red flag, right? Like, who does Vatican business except false prophets and false teachers? We don't have any reason to be doing Vatican business. The only kind of Vatican business we should be doing is exposing the Vatican for what they are. It's a cult. Really, I think the Catholic Church it's like a cult, because you're brainwashed. If you can actually believe that Jesus lives in a wafer, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. Now, imagine, though, that they've been very, very successful, because they claim that they have a billion followers. But Jackie was saying that a few weeks ago when she was on the program, that they count people, even if they're dead, I think, if they were Catholic when they were little, and they don't even have to be Catholic anymore, but they count them as members of their church. So, but even if they have millions of followers, which I imagine they do, how do you get people to believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself, comes down and lives in a wafer? And not only does he live in one wafer, he lives in wafers all over the world. Somebody please explain that to me, because You know, that's a real good piece of science fiction. It belongs somewhere out there in the Twilight Zone because, first of all, Jesus is not going to do that. He's not, he ascended into heaven in a body. So he has a body that he ascended into heaven with after he rose from the dead, and people saw him and they talked to him and they ate with him. So he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he said he's coming again, but he didn't say he's coming down in a wafer for people to eat. But that's how you can get, that's how people can be brainwashed, I think, really, or hypnotized anyway. They'll believe anything. They'll believe anything. Just tell them something enough and they'll believe it. But it's the same thing as the sound bite. And I'm going to talk about that. I want to talk about that for a few minutes before we get into our program here. But anyway, this thing with Benny Hinn and Paula White, and they both deny that they were doing anything. But I usually don't walk down the street holding hands with friends. especially male friends. I usually don't do that. But they claim it was a friendship. And whatever, who knows what it was? Who knows? I can't say because I don't have any evidence of. All I know is there was a picture that the National Enquirer snapped, and they both denied anything. And then Benny was suffering; his ministry was losing so much money because here he was caught in this scandal, and his wife divorced him. And so then anyway, he remarries his wife, who later on, she even was a Paula White lookalike. She dyed her hair blonde, and she even put a hairstyle like Paula. She tried to look like Paula, which I thought was very odd. But I don't think being married to Benny could be an easy thing. Who would want a husband that was a con artist? A wife is supposed to be a helpmeet. You're supposed to help your husband. And if you see your husband going off, you're supposed to be there to help him, to get him back on track. And instead, Suzanne sits back and she enjoys her mansions and her jets and her jewelry and whatever. And she lets Benny just say and do whatever he wants. And she never gives him her... obviously, she doesn't try to get him back on the straight and narrow, if he ever was on the straight and narrow. I doubt seriously Benny Hinn is a safe person by the way he acts, that he's always begging for money and he's got every kind of a con artist approach to fundraising. He's one of those Mike Murdoch types and the Rod Parsley types. They're always asking for money with a promise that you're going to get something back if you give them money. And it usually has to do with you getting more money by giving them more money so they can get richer and you can get poorer, because it just doesn't work that way. God, in his infinite wisdom, is only going to give you what you can handle. He's not going to give you anything else. He's not going to destroy your life with money and things that could cause you to backslide. He's just not going to do it. No matter how much money you lay up on the altar or how much tithing you do. And I know I've said this before and I'll say it again. The way that you accumulate wealth is through work. Work, save your money, make good investments, and then you can accumulate wealth. It'll work. That'll work. But running up to the altar with $10 or $1,000 or whatever, that's not going to work. That won't work. You'll be broke the next time I talk to you. You'll be broke. Ask the congregation. Ask the congregation. Just do a poll, please. Somebody do a poll and email me and let me know what your poll is. How your poll turned out. Like, email me Susan@propheticnews.com, and I want to hear, take a poll at your church and ask at your church, how many people in here have been tithing, say, a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? And how many people in here are totally out of debt? And let me know the results of your poll, because I guarantee you there would probably be less than 5% of people in the congregation that could say that they're totally out of debt. Yeah. So all the giving they've done, all the giving to get that they've done, it didn't get them what they wanted ultimately, because it doesn't work that way. God doesn't have any Ponzi schemes. He doesn't have any multi-level marketing. He doesn't have any of that. He's just wisdom. He's wisdom. And he also knows what's best for people. But anyway, that video did get, I think it got over 1 million hits on YouTube, the Benny Hinn Pull a White thing, which I found interesting that people were so interested in the story that you would get 1 million views on that. But thank God people do come to the YouTube channel, and I would like to make better videos. I would like to learn how to do filmmaking and make films as far as documentaries for the body of Christ and for the world, really, because there's a great need for documentary filmmaking, the truth of the Bible. And because pictures say a lot. So if you put pictures on a video or pictures on film, and then you have conversation that goes along with it, and research, and investigative reporting, which is very important. We don't have enough investigative reporters, especially in the church. We have a few, but we don't have enough. We need more. We need more investigative reporters, because and this is something I wanted to discuss, is the power of a soundbite. And that's what the news media has picked up with in this country, especially. They've done it in other countries before where they had propaganda. Oh, they had propaganda machines. Okay, yes, they had a propaganda machine of, say, in Nazi Germany. They were very good at propaganda, and it would probably be very interesting to study some of their propaganda films. But they were masters of manipulation, and they were masters of propaganda, and they could get you to believe something even if it wasn't true, because they say if you repeat something often enough, eventually people will believe it. And so we see that now in the political world. We see the power of a soundbite. And this is a for instance that I'm going to use, because I witnessed this one myself, and it has to do with President Trump. Before, when he was running for office, he came out, and I saw him come out this day, and I saw the whole press conference in its entirety, not just a soundbite. And he said that some of the Mexicans, he said, some are rapists, and some are. He didn't say all Mexicans are. Okay, so what happens then is the news media takes that statement, and they play a soundbite, and then they create the reality for you. And it's managed to really take hold, because I hear this one all the time. He said all Mexicans are rapists and killers. Well, he never said that. He never said that. So, but that's how somebody can take your words, and they can twist your words, and they can make people hate you for your words that you never said. And that's what's going on for the most part. that I see in the fake news. It's not even real news. It's and another one that they used against Donald Trump was the David Duke story. Now, we know David Duke was a head of the Ku Klux Klan or Ku Klux Klan, however you want to say it. And years ago, I interviewed a former Grand Wizard, Tommy Rollins, they either say Ku Klux Klan or Ku Klux Klan anyway. And I actually have the interview on tape. I have to play it one day. It's on a cassette tape. It's old. But he talks about how it was, and he got saved, and, you know, thank you, Jesus, for that. But it's a terrible thing to accuse somebody of being associated with white supremacy or with that particular organization, because it's basically a racist organization. So David Duke comes out, and I saw the David Duke thing. I saw what happened when President Trump, who was then a candidate, heard that David Duke had endorsed him. Immediately he said, "I disavow it." I didn't see the soundbite. I saw the press conference. I saw the actual statement that he made in its entirety. So what does the news media do? The news media takes it and they create a soundbite. And the soundbite is, David Duke has endorsed Donald Trump and he did not disavow him. And so they took the story and they call it spinning. So they spin the story and then they create the reality for you. And then most people, 9 to 5 people that don't have time to do research, they don't have time to search on YouTube for the complete press conference or the complete statement. They believe the soundbite. So they've created false impression that the person is a racist because they didn't disavow the former head of the Ku Klux Klan. Well, it wasn't true. It wasn't true. Then another one they used was something that they had. Oh, I can't remember. Was it Virginia, where they had this these protests, and then there was white supremacists there, and then there was other groups there, I don't know, civil rights groups or whatever. And of course, the white people that were at this group thing, whatever it was, I don't know if it was a protest or what, can't remember exactly, but the white people that were there, they weren't all white supremacists. Some of them were just normal people that were there at the whatever it was, a protest. So Donald Trump says, he makes a statement and he says, well, some of them were nice people. Well, some of them were nice people because they weren't all white supremacists there, just like the people in the civil rights on the other side. Some of them were radical, but some of them were nice people too. They just wanted to go out and protest, which we all have a right to do. So then the soundbite is, he said the white supremacists were nice people. Well, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. But we're seeing this whole propaganda machine going toward the president and creating a reality that does not exist and creating a person who does not exist. I don't know Donald Trump. I've never sat down with him and talked with him. I only know what I hear from him. I'm not going to believe what I hear from somebody else. That's why on our program, we play the clips of the people actually saying the things that we're talking about. We don't just take a soundbite out and then tell you this is what they're saying when that's not what they're saying. There's a real danger in that. There's a real danger, and there's a real danger for the church at large where that's concerned, because eventually what you're seeing in the political realm right now is what the hatred that has turned up for Donald Trump will be turned up even more so for the church, for the body of Christ, for the ones that don't sell out, for what many people call the remnant church, the church that's left, the real church that's left when the other church decides to hook up with the beast and the Antichrist. And we see it. We see this whole thing, the church, this whole thing coming together, the one world order of the church, as if you can imagine, even 10 years ago, Paula White, a person like Paula White, being a spiritual advisor, so-called, to a president of the United States, also rubbing shoulders with Franklin Graham, Jack Graham, who was the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, and who now, you know, pastor, so-called. I wouldn't want him as my pastor, that's for sure. If you can't take a stand against a false teacher just because you want to rub shoulders with the president of the United States, then you're a wimp in my book. You're a wimp. So these men, Robert Jeffers, Franklin Graham, Ronnie Floyd, another Southern Baptist, they appear with Paula White. They appear with her, and they give her credibility. They give a woman who stood up in her pulpit with her husband and told people to watch porn. Yeah. They told people to watch porn to have a better marriage. I have the audio. I also have the video. It's true. It's true. So, where is the discernment? 10 years ago, this probably wouldn't have happened. They wouldn't have joined forces with someone like this Jezebel. But we see it today. We see it. People that are going to stand up for truth, that people that are not going to sell out for filthy lucre's sake, we're going to be the ones that are going to be persecuted. And you think there's a lot of hatred right now against the president. It's going to be 100 times worse for the body of Christ, because it's going to be harder and harder to preach the gospel when we're going to be accused of hate speech. And that's what we're going to be accused of. There are already people being accused of that in Canada, being arrested, being fined for calling homosexuality a sin. It's happening in England, and they've gone way out over there, way out. But they have a bloody history anyway. Like I was saying a few weeks ago when Jackie and I were talking about Henry VIII. Now imagine this. Henry VIII was the king of England back in the 1500s. He was married to, he was Catholic. He was married to a Catholic lady, Catherine something. Anyway, he decided she can't give him a son or whatever. So whatever the story was. Anyway, he hooks up with this lady, Anne Boleyn. He gets rid of Catherine. Well, the Catholic Church won't give him a divorce. And I don't even think they would give him an annulment. But anyway, he broke away from the Catholic Church. And he starts his own church, the Church of England, which is still in existence today. But this is this guy, Henry VIII. So he marries this Anne Boleyn, and I think she gave him a daughter, and I think that she lost a baby. I'm not 100% sure, but I can't remember exactly. I know I've seen the movie Anne of a Thousand Days, and I've been in his palace in Hampton Court there in England. I've seen it. And I went to the Tower of London where Anne had her head chopped off, saw that. But anyway, so when Anne can't give Henry what he wants, he chops her head off. The amazing thing to me is even after he was doing all these things, he even gets more wives. I think he had three more wives after that. Now, can you imagine that you're dating somebody that had his wife's head chopped off, couldn't give him a baby? Yeah, but this is the King of England. It's the King of England. Anyway, it was a bloody history, and this guy started a church. And so it goes to show you that anybody could start a church. Anybody could start a church, and they can turn into a cult leader. They can commit crimes like so many of them do, and they get carried away with their own importance or whatever. So anyway, be careful what you hear. Be careful what you believe. Because we have to judge righteously. We have to know the truth. And we have to be able to see, and we have to be able to recognize the sign of the times. And the sign of the times today is to stir things up. If anybody has a view that's not a liberal view, that you don't believe that you want babies killed in the womb, you don't want to discriminate against homosexuals, you have to call a he a she and a she a he, and among other things, that people will whip up this tremendous hatred for you, and who knows what could happen. Any of us that have been in any kind of a public ministry at all know that there's going to be times when you have to go through some serious trials. There'll be the weirdest tacks that you wouldn't even believe that could happen. But it happens. It happens because we have an enemy who hates us, and doesn't just hate us, hates the Jesus that's in us. That's it. Hates the Jesus that's in us. But anyway, I'm going to finish up this program for today. And then tomorrow, I'm still working on fixing my computer and getting my other mic back up. But we'll talk either tomorrow or the next day, and I will talk about Beth Moore and Joyce Meyer and some of their false teachings, because they have some crazy stuff, let me tell you, especially Joyce. She doesn't really come out so much lately with some of her statements that she's made in the past, and thank God that they do have the audio and go back and listen. But anyway, don't forget my book too, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. That's available on Amazon and on Barnes & Noble. It's on quite a few websites, Lulu. So I'm not crazy about promoting Amazon, even though my book is on there, because yikes, this guy is so rich. And but that's where it is. Okay, so God bless you. Don't forget, the most important thing today is to give your life to Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and be born again. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.